Okay, so we'll return to order and take up the next two items. If you could go ahead and read both of those.
Item 693, update collection and foreclosure code to align to changes in ORS 205 and 223. And 694, foreclosure list report 2016-01.
Well, thank you. I think the whole afternoon council calendar could be described with this combination of words. Hooray, at long last, we finished 7 years of work on the comprehensive plan, and now we're taking up a question that has lingered for some time around our community. So I'm very pleased that we're here and at the team of people in city government, from the auditor's office to the police bureau to ONI to BDS to my office, that have been working so well together. Want to thank a couple of people at the outset, one who's on his honeymoon, Zach Lanosky, and then there he is, Chad Stover from my office, who worked really hard on this, and then Officer Aaron Schmaltz from East Precinct, who's still recovering from a very scary car accident, but about a year and a quarter ago took me on a ride-along and opened my eyes to the fact that we still had in our city, even in 2015, at what was already a very healthy real estate market and people desperate for affordable housing. Now it's more so. Even then, we still had hundreds of houses of this type that are vacant, abandoned, and toxic for their neighbors. So I'm very glad that we are now focusing on this problem and moving forward on solutions. I had the pleasure of leading a tour last Friday of 5 vacant and abandoned houses that were all within 2 miles of each other in just one neighborhood, Lentz. One of those houses is on the list for foreclosure today, and this house involved the tragic death of a 27-year-old female from a heroin overdose. So it shows that housing that is not really in proper use can also be a dangerous place for people, and including vulnerable people, to live. The issue of vacant and abandoned, or sometimes what we call them zombie homes, has no single solution. But thanks to the hard work of a team of people here at the city, we're dusting off old tools and creating new ones that will help move us forward on this. We are committed to solving this problem. Our fiscal year 16-17 budget includes new positions in the Bureau of Development Services to deal with extremely distressed properties. It includes a new position in the City Attorney's Office. And now we're going to be acting on new tools, a streamlined plan for foreclosures and receivership. So again, we have two main tools before us, and we'll be hearing from our auditor and from others on these tools. First is foreclosure itself. The city has the authority to foreclose on houses that owe the city money for liens on past violations. And so we are bringing today 5 houses scheduled for foreclosure. We also have the option of receivership, which allows the city to petition the court to appoint a housing receiver to temporarily take ownership while a house is repaired and put back out for affordable housing. So I believe that receivership will complement the foreclosure program and work to make sure that no one is gaming the system, but that instead we're getting this housing back out into responsible ownership and affordable use. So these are changes before us today. I'm very glad, again, that we have this before us. I want to call on a series of people to come up and talk about this. First, our auditor and her staff to talk about code changes. Yes, our auditor is letting her staff go on her behalf. She was here. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon. The first item on the
agenda. Put your name in the record,
oh,
Sarah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sarah Landis, Chief Deputy City Auditor. The first item on the agenda today is to discuss necessary changes to Portland City Code 530. The intent of these changes are really housekeeping in nature and to align city code with changes to Oregon Revised Statute that set foreclosure regulations at the state level. Just to walk through the changes, the first substantive change comes in 530.020 subsection N, which is changes to the sales price definition. Currently, city code only allows a foreclosure sales price to equal the total of the lien principal interest, penalties, collection costs, and sales costs. And that means that a property with liens and associated costs would sell for potentially a fraction of the value of the property. Our code was in compliance with state law when it was written. It is no longer in compliance with state law, and so this change would make it so. The second substantive change is, to detail there, the revision would allow for the sales price to be the greater of the amount of lien, principal, interest, penalties, collection costs, and sales cost, or 75% of total assessed value. The other major change to the code comes in section 530-170 and is related to the conduct of the foreclosure sale. Again, this change aligns city code with ORS. The proposal here would delete the section that covers multiple acceptable bids, as the new sales price definition allows for a highest bid, so that language is no longer necessary. A new section is added that directs the treasurer to apply proceeds first to pay off the costs of conducting the sale, then to unpaid lien principal, interest, and penalties, then to anyone with a court recorded interest in the property, and then to the debtor or the debtor's heirs. We have other changes are really housekeeping in nature and meant to clarify or correct details in the code. So we have this as an emergency item to ensure that we're in compliance with state statute prior to a council vote on foreclosure, which is coming up next. And I'd be happy to answer any questions or have Marco Maciel, who's the foreclosure program manager, or Simon Huang, who was the attorney who assisted us with this, answer those questions.
I just have a clarifying question. In 530-120, purchase property by the city, it says that the city may purchase any property on the foreclosure list for the amounts of the lien principal plus interest and penalties. So we can do that before it goes up for sale to the highest bidder. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
And then we could sell or give it to a nonprofit or whatever we want to do with it. Is that correct?
Right. We could transfer it to a receiver, right?
I'm not sure of the details of that part of the code, since that occurs after our jurisdiction ends, but I would ask that maybe Simon could answer that question.
Simon, you want to come address that? What is that? How would that particular code provision about city purchase be utilized?
And let me be clear. I'm very happy to see it because I think that since we're going to such a lot of trouble and since we have such an affordable housing crisis, there's a lot of potentially good uses to rehabbing the properties and putting them back into serviceable use rather than getting demolished and have McMansions built on the site.
Not working. All right, there you go.
Simon Huang.
Just to be clear, the code
change. Hey, maybe you should come and sit at the table.
Yeah, come up here. Working. Sorry, Simon. It's just not cooperating.
Just to be clear, the code change really contemplates only the purchase of the property at the for the lien amount by the city. The change is silent with respect to what the city does with the property afterwards, and that's something that would still need to be developed. So this is really about the purchasing of the property, and that's also something that aligns with Oregon Revised Statute.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make that clear because I'm happy to see it.
Thank you. Okay, other questions for Simon or our auditor staff or Jennifer Cooperman's also here from our treasurer. So, okay, thank you very much. We'll stand by. We may have more questions. There are some other folks from city bureaus who've been involved in this issue that I want to call on, both the police bureau and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, I think, want to speak to this. And then we want to invite public testimony. I know there's some folks that have been living with this problem who are here with us this afternoon. So come on up, Commander. Who'd like to go first?
Thank you. Commander Dave Hendry, Portland Police Bureau, East Precinct. First of all, I'd just like to thank the mayor and council for hearing about this project today. East Precinct, as we've talked about, the mayor came out about a year and a half ago and did a ride along with one of my officers. And he saw firsthand the amount of these homes that we have citywide, but really they have deeply impacted the precinct that I'm a that I oversee out in East. We have probably 400 properties that flow in and out of ownership and disrepair that our folks are managing. But the ones we're talking about here are the worst of the worst, the ones that have become a constant blight to the neighborhoods and in often cases have turned into a crime hub where we do see spikes of an increase in property crimes and assaultive behavior and things like that that kind of resonate outside of them. I think one of the frustrating things for our officers is coming to these homes and realizing without having the ability to have somebody who's in charge of these homes to help us with trespass and working through those ordinance pieces, law enforcement officers are oftentimes unable to work through the solution just by ourselves. And I think this program that we're talking about here is exactly what is needed, which is all the city entities working together in order to make our community safer. And I know when I'm talking with the residents, especially who live right next door to these properties, they're very thankful for the work that's being done here. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Stephanie.
Mayor, commissioners, I'm Stephanie Reynolds, the manager of the Crime Prevention Program with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. And I'm also just really pleased to see this tool coming forward, this set of tools coming forward. This has been, you know, vacant and zombie houses have been on our radar in the Crime Prevention Program for a number of years. Vacant houses have always been challenging, but starting in 2008 with the mortgage crisis, they just became really overwhelming, frankly. The number of them and the severity of them and the difficulty in getting anything done on them. So I'm just really pleased to see that we're going to have some more tools in our toolbox. It's really important. The stress on neighbors of these properties is pretty extreme, and they're just astonished that more can't be done and can't be done faster. So we're just really pleased to see that there are going to be some more options for this.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. And is it Mike? Are you going to walk us through the list of the – who's going to walk us through the list of the houses?
Just have another question for Sarah, if I may. Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, good. And this is, again, back on the code for purchase of the property by the city and for the foreclosure sale and the redemption. So is something in administrative rules that says where it says under B that any person having an interest in the property is given an opportunity to pay the lien in full? Is there somewhere where we can codify or put in administrative rules that the notice is sent in different languages?
We just this week received our translation insert to go into those letters. So we will be sending, along with all of our correspondence, a generic in the Safe Harbor language as a generic if you need help in another language. This is how to get in touch with us.
Okay, so and that'll go into both the before the sale and the after sale.
It will go into all of our correspondence.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Good. So, gentlemen, would you like to walk us through or maybe Sarah as well, would like to walk us through the list of properties that's shown in the report? Foreclosure list 2016, number one. I like the ring. It has a ring to it.
I will start on this. So, again, Sarah Landis, City Auditor's Office. With me is Mike Liefeld from Bureau of Development Services and Marco Maciel from the Auditor's Office. We're here today to report on five properties that we're recommending for foreclosure. An affirmative council vote today to accept the report will authorize the city treasurer to proceed with foreclosure sale on these properties. The properties on this list are the first batch that have been processed through the mayor's initiative to address vacant and abandoned homes that are significant problems for neighborhoods, a drain on city resources across multiple bureaus, and a waste of housing stock in a city that needs more. Because foreclosure is a very time and resource-intensive effort, and the decision for a government to take property is not one that can or should be entered into lightly, we agreed to come to council with a manageable number of properties for consideration. The foreclosure process will not be a quick fix, nor will it be appropriate for every blighted property with delinquent liens. It is one of many tools that must be applied to address blight, so I hope that even as council moves forward with foreclosures, it continues to look at other options to address these properties as well. Okay. Each of the properties we are presenting today is among the worst of the worst. They are part of the Extremely Distressed Property Enforcement Program in the Bureau of Development Services. In total, they have 37 liens and owe over $375,000 on those liens. Each has had multiple violations and liens that have been open for a long time, and each represents an opportunity to make progress toward improving livability, health, and safety. Mike, is there anything you'd like to say before we start walking through these individual properties?
Just a few comments. Mike Liefeld, Bureau of Development Services Enforcement Program Manager. We started the Extremely Distressed Property Enforcement Program in BDS in 2011 with a focused attention on these unmaintained abandoned homes that were causing severe livability impacts for neighborhoods. And I think what we're finding is that even after all the resources that we put in, code hearings, vacate orders, demolition orders, resecuring properties, nuisance abatements, 5 years into the program, we still have many of the original properties that are in the same condition. And so we're just really excited about another tool in our enforcement tool chest to try to get some action moving on these properties. Thank you.
Okay. So the first property is at 7101 Northeast Prescott Street. It has eight liens, delinquent liens, and the dates of delinquency range from December of 2012 to June of 2015. Total amount owed on the lien is just over $99,000. The ownership is listed as David Tift, LLC, as the legal owner with Multnomah County at the time of we prepared this list. There's apparently been a recent ownership change to Fannie Mae.
What does that mean for the process?
We sent notification to the legal owner as listed on the county records, and so we're fine with that notification. Any ownership issues will be delved into in some detail after the council vote. The title reports will be pulled, and there'll be a lot of effort to contact those folks before a foreclosure sale goes through. And there's plenty of notice given on that too, public notice and also tracking down the owners.
So one of the next steps is a commercial title report, so we get third-party validation of who the legal owner is.
Okay. Yep. If it's the Federal National Mortgage Association, we know where to find them.
Yes.
Yes, we do. The title has not been conveyed yet to Fannie Mae, and so it's still listed as David Tift.
So if it turns out that it has already gone over, just a delayed in reporting, does that change what we would do?
I don't believe that it should, because your vote today would be just a vote to send this list to the treasurer for foreclosure. The property owner still has from today until the date of the property sale to pay their liens off. And so there's still ample time for that to happen. And then even after the sale, the property owner has that 1 year right of redemption to pay the liens off and redeem the property. So there's plenty of safeguard there. I believe that it shouldn't be a problem for us to vote today, or for you to vote today, to send these to the treasurer.
And that 1 year redemption, does it sit like that for another year then?
It doesn't have to, right?
No. It doesn't have to, and Mike might be better off addressing this, since BDS would be the lien holder at the point of sale, so they will have to do basic maintenance on the property. But and then if there's a purchaser, there can be arrangements that the redemption rights can be sold or given up, and the purchaser could make improvements on the property, but they would do so at their own risk because of the rights of the original property owner in that redemption period.
Marco Maciel, just to clarify, the fact that we are foreclosing on the property, or you have foreclosed and it is going through the redemption period, does not preclude the two parties, the one that's holding the certificate and the still property owner, to reach an agreement between themselves. And there is a period, a redemption period. I'm willing to give you $2,000 or $5,000 if you give me the right during this period to start working on the property. So the city does not get involved with that, but by law, they can get into a contractual agreement to do that.
Good. Okay. So you want to keep going?
Sure. I'll let Mike talk through the details of this property.
Well, this is one of our original EDPAD cases. This property has been in violation since 2012. On the slide, it notes the magnitude of the violation, over 75 violations cited, 25 fire life safety, 7 health sanitation violations. When we start working these cases, you have to imagine these homes are occupied. They're occupied with without basic utilities, water, electricity, causes significant hazards to occupants and surrounding property owners. And I do apologize. These slides cannot replicate the conditions of the property. Even a 5,000 square foot lot with the violations that we have, slides don't do it justice. And I've actually taken out some of the slides that are really, you don't want to see those slides. They'll be kept in our files. So essentially, we have some illegal business operation going on here. We have an illegally occupied structure without basic utilities, and BDS had to proceed to a code hearing to secure a vacate order, which we obtained and then executed to remove folks and secure up the property. What we find with many of these properties is that after we take that action, we secure it up, the problems don't go away. They reoccur, so they're almost chronic. The homes become attractive for folks because they know there's not a responsible party, so it's the city that's maintaining the property. So this slide shows the amount of abatements that we have completed at the property, and they span, you know, consecutive years. Five separate city abatements done by the city of Portland in 2014, and those abatements do amount to some of the lien costs that were in that total figure on the property.
Is that a swimming pool?
That is a swimming pool, right? And that swimming pool was filled with trash and garbage, and then as the rainfall started, it became even worse. And I think on this one, we had to do a special bid to pump out the water. And in this case, we may have actually boarded over the swimming pool just to try to prevent this type of reoccurrence so it wouldn't be as bad next time it filled up with water.
Okay, moving on to the next property. This property is at 4112 through 4118 Southeast 91st Avenue. It has eight liens, and delinquency ranges from June of 2011 to most recently in March of this year. Total amount owed on the liens is $105,000, and the ownership here is Trang Nguyen and Van Tran. There may be bank involvement or ownership, but we could find no records. We had some contact with folks who said they were representing the bank, or the field inspectors did, but there's been no title transfer that occurred, so the record shows these folks as the owners.
So another original EdPEP case cited in 2010, the conditions remain minus most of the nuisance conditions because the city has continually removed those items from the exterior yard area. 63 violations, 17 fire life safety violations, 8 health sanitation violations. No contact, well, I should say we did have contact from the property owner in 2011 and a property owner's relative. After that, there's been no contact from the property owner. We have had sporadic contact from property preservation companies beginning in 2012 and continuing. We've pretty much had some contact from a property preservation company or a financial institution each year, including 2016, with no action. So the violations remain uncorrected. So in this case, another code hearing to secure a vacate order to remove occupants and future occupants. The code hearings officer did determine that this property is an attractive nuisance. What we found at this property is that after the board up, there has been heavy transient activity at the property, which has forced us to resecure the property repeatedly. This is why we get a lot of calls from neighbors, concern about unauthorized folks on the properties, dealings at night, and that's kind of the criminal aspect that can enter into these abandoned properties.
Okay, the next property is at 15803 Southeast Powell Boulevard. It also has eight liens and has delinquency dates ranging from December of 2009 through June of 2014. Total amount owed on the liens is $96,000. U.S. National Bank foreclosed on the property on February 1st of this year, but the property title has not been conveyed and may have been sold to another servicing company. The owner on record with Multnomah County is Trevor Brown.
one of, this may be the first EdPEP case that we had. This one was ranging, dating back to 2009. We had an occupied structure without basic utilities, 34 violations cited, many fire, life safety, health sanitation concerns. This property did not have working or active water service, which was, I can tell you firsthand, was producing health sanitation concerns at the property, which was concerning to the adjacent neighbors. We did secure a vacate order from the code hearings officer, and with Commander Henry's assistance of PPB, we did vacate 9 individuals from the home, from the illegal attic space, from RVs when we served that vacate order and secured the home. We have had ongoing trespass issues at this property. Once BDS secures a vacate, we essentially hold control of the property about who can access it. We do that to work with individuals who are interested in making repairs. In this particular case, we did provide access agreements to make the necessary repairs. Unfortunately, that access agreement turned into another illegal occupancy, which forced us to re-vacate the property. We've re-secured this property a number of times, and the slide shows again the number of nuisance abatements that the city's had to complete.
Hey, folks, please, don't interrupt. Go ahead.
The next property on the list is 8515 through 8517 North Portsmouth Avenue. It has 12 liens. Dates of delinquency range from summer of 2009 through February of 2016. Total amount owed on the liens is $66,000, and the owner is Norman Yee.
So this property owner, let me put this in context for you. This property owner, at last count, owns 12 separate properties in the city of Portland, has outstanding liens of over $500,000 owed to the city of Portland. We've received 127 complaints. That's a very large number of complaints for one property ownership. BDS has completed 29 abatements at these properties, and that number continues to grow because we have active cases as of today with more nuisance abatements pending. So at this property on North Portsmouth Avenue, we essentially have had 18 complaint cases at the property since 1992. We do have an active violation case today. The violations range from exterior structural violations to exterior yard violations, overgrown grass, obstructions of the sidewalk, the public right-of-way, illegal dumping or trash and debris on the property. This property had a fire at one point, and so there was damage to the structure that still is uncorrected. This property is also interesting in that BDS took this property to a code hearing in 2012, and the property owner did appear with legal counsel. Through that proceeding, we were able to enter into a stipulated agreement with the property owner for correction of all the violations and future maintenance of the property with agreed penalties if the property went back into violation. Unfortunately, not soon after that stipulated agreement was signed, the property did go back into violation. So the terms of the agreement that the property owner agreed to were not met, and BDS has been completing nuisance abatements at the property ever since then.
The final property on the list is 9120 North Tioga Avenue. It currently has one lien. Dates of delinquency on this lien was January 2014, and the total amount owed is $11,000, and the owner, again, is Norman Yee on this property.
So this property, we've received 10 complaint cases since 1994. We have two active cases. One is for property maintenance regarding the conditions of the structure, and the other is a nuisance case for conditions of the exterior yard area. Again, more of the same with unkept yards, obstructions to the right-of-way. The current citations are more significant in that we have determined that there is a hole in the roof which is excelling the deterioration of the structure. It has essentially been abandoned at this point.
So that some of these houses have been sporadically inhabited, but this one's not habitable, and by the terms of the code, got a hole in the roof, doesn't have any plumbing, you know, that kind of thing, right?
Yes, all of these with their conditions would have a notice not to occupy. Yeah. There would be additional penalties for occupying in their current condition.
You're a building inspector, Mike. Are any of these houses salvageable, these five? I mean, somebody downstream is going to have to make a judgment call. Is this house too far gone and must be demolished? I mean, I realize some of these probably are subject to demolition orders, so maybe you've already answered that question in some cases. But are any of these houses salvageable, in your opinion?
I think some of them are. I mean, on the two last properties, we haven't had an interior inspection, so we really don't know the condition. We vet those properties for rehab or demolition at the time of a code hearing, and we try to make that determination at that point because we want to secure that demolition order at that time to be efficient with resources. And in these cases, we have not secured demolition orders. So at the time we did the code hearing, based on the knowledge and the condition of the property, we did feel that perhaps rehab was an option. But the longer they sit in this condition, the worse that condition gets, and the chances of rehab become much more difficult, I would imagine.
Okay. So the next steps for these particular properties, first council will vote on whether to foreclose. If that vote is affirmative, then the auditor's office transfers responsibility to the treasurer for the conduct of the foreclosure sale. And as I mentioned earlier, the property owner can pay the amount owed up to the sale date, and after the sale date is conducted, the owner has 1 year of redemption period. And I just wanted to briefly bring up what our next steps are for foreclosure on other properties. The Auditor's Office, Development Services, and the Treasurer are meeting weekly to prioritize properties for foreclosure, to share information and ensure that we have good communication about the properties. It takes a lot of work to bring these files to fruition and to bring these cases to council, and we want to make sure that we are current on the best information that BDS has and that BDS is current on the information that we have, to troubleshoot the process and to monitor workload. And then our intent is to have this be the first of many foreclosure lists that we will bring to council as files are completed and a sufficient number of unresolved cases are available. It's been the case with this list. There were many more properties that we had worked up, that Marco had worked up cases for, and we'd gotten fairly far along the process, and there something came up to either resolve the issues with that property, a new owner who was making efforts, or the property was going to foreclosure sale through the county or something else. So there are a number of reasons why a property can fall off of what we think as a good candidate for foreclosure, and we want to try to minimize the amount of work that we put into such properties so that we can be most efficient about bringing properties to you.
And is it am I understanding correctly, all five of these have been to the collections committee?
All five of these properties have been to the collections committee. That's true.
Thank you. And you don't have to go back to it, but you had a checklist up earlier, but on your slideshow, but I just want to make sure everybody understands that the properties that will get scrolled up for action by the council on foreclosure are ones that are vacant, abandoned, have a long list of violations, and an unresponsive property owner, right?
That's right.
So if somebody has a rundown house that they're living in, we're not talking about them. If they have a rundown house that they've bought and they're now trying to fix up and they're on some kind of reasonable schedule to get it fixed up, we're not talking about them. We're talking about houses where it's vacant, abandoned, has a whole bunch of violations, and you're not getting your phone calls or letters returned from wherever this owner might be.
That's right.
That's the subset. We're only focusing on that subset of houses. Okay. Great. Anything else you all want to add? Any other questions for staff? Great work. Thank you very much. And let's see who's here to speak on this item. Do you have a list? And anyone who's not on the list is free to join them as well.
We have five on the list.
Okay.
Will these three please come up? Artist, Jesse Spoonberg, and Mary Ng.
Okay, come on up. Go ahead.
I'm an artist. And I am using my constitutional right to speak. Sir, you hired a consulting group called Rosenbaum and Watson. You brought them here to start a public meeting called the Community Oversight Advisory Board. They're selling a product, and they're using people that are traumatized, that have been brutalized by excessive force. Amanda Fritz, Commissioner Amanda Fritz, you were at a meeting on Thursday night where you thanked the COAB, where you thanked the chair. You were not there for the people. You failed the people. You, sir, Charlie Hale's mayor, you failed the people, failed them, and you continue to fail them with your complicity, with your silent complicity. You are failing the people. You owe a man an apology. You owe the whole city an apology for bringing Rosenbaum and Watson, LLP, to brutalize and traumatize a whole group of people. That group reaches out to people that have been brutalized. And we enter that meeting, and there's lines of police officers outside of that building. Lines of people of police inside of an office ready to grab people that are traumatized, speaking about police brutality. Activists getting arrested because they're speaking up, using their First Amendment right to speak. People being censored because they're saying what they want to say. Stay on subject. You're saying this to people that have mental health issues. Shut up. Don't talk. You're about to get excluded. Threat after threat after threat for 3 fucking hours.
Excuse me, you can't use profanity.
I am using my constitutional right to express myself. I am using my First Amendment right to express myself.
You're sorry. Show them a good example.
I am using my First Amendment right to express myself.
Thank you very much. Okay, next.
Hi, my name is Mary Eng. I'm so grateful and honored to be here to speak about this measure. It's been kind of exciting to me. There's a little known thing you don't know about me is that when I was down in paralegal school in Los Angeles City College, I took the 3 necessary courses that would get me to in the first door of becoming a real estate agent. So I haven't taken them up on the offer. But another little known fact is that I helped in a squatting operation at the Occupy UBS Bank in Occupy London, which was thrilling and interesting because I got to meet squatting defense lawyers. And what I found out is that after World War II, London was so devastated and so grateful for the United States financial aid to help rebuild in the aftermath of the Nazi incursions, that squatting was liberalized as a measure, as a community response for rebuilding. And I think mischaracterizing all squatters as negative or drug addicts or whatnot kind of fails to see that if we are on a race to the bottom in a fiscal sense, we might turn our eyes towards alternative modalities of rehabilitating buildings or subsidizing constructive real estate projects. But I have about 3 main points, and then I think I'll be done. And I think I can hit those in all 137 of my seconds, especially if I can find my notes. Okay. We got to deal with the slumlords, because these are worst-case scenario houses. It took years to get them into this dilapidated condition. And I was appalled by the bedbug crisis, the housing management is not done properly. And I worked with the Bet Zedek Legal Defense Fund that had worked on Holocaust reparations for one of my lawsuits against one of my slumlords in Hollywood, California. So you got to understand that there are good people in housing defense who could give us some appropriate reaction to Portland's anti-poverty peasant attitude towards the peasants. And then we've got the Wall Street trading of these properties as they go on the market in this new initial public offering type stuff or whatever it is where they're trading our property values. It's keeping the rents really jacked up, and we know that, so don't act like we don't know that. And then having a neo-Nazi attending an eviction is really hard on Jewish eviction defense type people, but I'm enjoying this because I don't like mold, and I don't like bed bugs, and I don't like cockroaches, which I heard they weren't allowed in the Northwest, but I moved into a property where I eventually got the fire chief in on it. My landlord committed suicide because I made a report to the fire chief. She was possibly having her own mental crisis, her own drug addiction, and there's a lot going on there before we get to this worst case scenario. But I appreciate the legal education. I found it enjoyable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. At first, I was just going to... Oh, my name is Jesse Spomberg. Nice to see you guys, Commissioner. You okay, Commissioner? You don't look so good.
Hi, Barrett.
And you got a cold. Joke. I just want to say thank you, guys, for initiating... I don't come up and say thank you a lot. For initiating this process to deal with these foreclosures. My only concern is, as I was listening to this, when I first came, I was really excited. A year to give these people... You know, it's been about 10, 11 months since we sat here in these same exact seats and had, you know, the declaration of a housing crisis. And, you know, within that year, you're going to be gone. And I just would hate to see this awesome promise turn into another toothless tiger. You know, we still don't have a solution to the homeless. You know, we've targeted five houses, and while that looks good on paper and it looks good in the newspaper, I just really urge you guys. I know you're going to be here for the next 50 years, so but the rest of you guys might not be. So with that said, thank you, and I'd like to give Laura my last 2 minutes.
I think we're stuck with. I think we can't give you minutes because everybody gets three.
I just want to see you guys jump.
I think we're stuck with the 1 year. That's not something that we've decided. I think that's in state. Is that state law or our code? State law. So there's, you know, there's legal structure around us that some of which we can flex and some of which we can't. But I think the 1 year redemption is in state law. We should check that.
Well, I also noticed that you guys, that nice woman that sat here, wasn't even sure who owned a couple of the houses. You know, I mean, so it's good that we're going to have a vote. It's symbolic. We, you know, we do this every once in a while.
Well, it's not symbolic. If we take them forward into foreclosure and we proceed to foreclose through the treasurer's office, that's real. They'll get us foreclosure notice, and it will be sold. You know,
even the ones that have gone to Fannie Mae, yeah, national organization.
Fannie Mae is just another
owner. A criminal organization, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I thought so.
They're just another
owner.
So
are you into organized crime?
Hang on a second. Let me answer his question. They're just another owner as far as the foreclosure.
It's okay to have a conversation with the man.
It could be a bank, it could be Fannie Mae, it could be Fred and Mary. You know, it could be anybody. All right, thanks.
I was born that way.
I like the way that he acknowledges you and your conversation and what you have to say.
Thank you.
You hardly can look at me not having a conversation.
He had a question.
But thank you so much.
You bet.
Okay, let me add one thing. I watched that COAB video from the other day. That's an embarrassment all around. Everybody who participated in that should be a tiny bit embarrassed. That's all I'm going to say. Thanks, guys.
Thank you all. Okay, next, please.
And the next two are Robert West and Steve Voiles.
West, you're next.
Okay. My name is Robert West. I'm from the police 911, and me, of course, I'm going to use my First Amendment rights, too. And I'm going to say that the co-op thing was a straight joke. It was a straight fuck-up.
Hey, please, not here.
And that city council as a whole should be ashamed of what happened. They should be ashamed of the co-op leadership. And everyone that was there was just... all the leadership in there should be ashamed of themselves. I think Amanda Fritz made it even more fucked up.
Hey, please, I'm going to exclude you if you use profanity in here again. That's it.
First Amendment right.
No, it isn't. Not here.
It's First Amendment right.
Not when it's on television, lady. Go ahead.
Uphold the Constitution of the United States.
Go ahead.
And I look at it this way. It was a straight fuck up from the beginning.
All right, you're excluded, sir. You're done. Turn off the microphones. I warned you.
I'm going.
Let's resume the meeting, and let me warn anyone else here, if you interrupt, you'll be excluded. Sir, you're here to speak on this issue, I believe. I'd like to give you a chance to speak on this issue. Please go ahead. You're a neighbor.
Thank you, Mayor.
You're a neighbor of one of these houses, I believe.
Cowardly goons. Takes two of them to push someone around, huh?
Go ahead.
Thanks. My name is Steve Voiles. I'm a neighbor of three of the houses that were on the tour. I just want to say thanks for starting the process. I too am a little concerned about the 1 year deal where people can receive the house again. It seems like they've had an opportunity, but aside all that, it's been a huge impact on the neighborhood. Frankly, my wife and I worked very hard to have the house we do have. Frankly, didn't know I was going to be involved in such exciting company here.
Yeah, sorry, welcome to our world.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway. It's been a huge impact. My neighbors and I, we believe that community starts local, in our own block, so we take care of each other, look out for each other. The problem, though, comes into where we can only go so far, and where we need to get police involved or BDS involved to take action. But again, I appreciate all the help that we can get. So.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate you being an advocate for this, and we're glad that we're finally getting to the house, or at least one of the houses on your block.
Yeah, yeah.
More to come.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and I was very glad to see that in today's discussion, you spoke vigorously about taking care of these properties, no matter what the ownership records may indicate, because there's sometimes procedural and technical glitches. We know that the county was engaged in $1 million-plus lawsuit related to robo-processing of mortgages and stuff like that. There was some settlement there, so maybe there's room for sometimes I think I hear the words intergovernmental agreement, but we know that this issue is not limited to within the city limits of Portland. I was glad to see that one of the earlier speakers who I think was able to abstain from profanity was a participant in one of our recent circuit court cases, 16LT05254. That was a case against the Federal National Mortgage Association, which, you know, we as citizens need to continue to pressure that organization to do its primary mission of housing first. Secondly, worry about the technical details of evicting people. First, worry about sheltering people. We've talked before in this council about how since the Reagan administration, our government has not really done what it should do about assisting people in financial distress. I do want to say that even though there's been some profanity here, there are important issues about people with mental health and trauma. And the police department, those employees in the police department are subject to having to hear the F word under a constitutional rule. So please take that into consideration. Thank
Children
you.
Children hearing this on television might not want to be subjected to it. Welcome, Lightning.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. I'm completely against proceeding forward with the foreclosures. You didn't do a foreclosure since 1971. It was due to a sidewalk, maybe $500. You foreclosed on that property. They turned back around you and sued you for the value of their house. You did a payout of $18,000. Learn from your mistakes. When you begin to foreclose on these properties, you're going to get sued. You're going to be challenged based upon the Constitution. These property owners have property rights. They own the properties. And when you start coming in and saying that you have a right to buy that property before it even goes into the foreclosure process to get fair market value for these property owners, you are not impartial on that sale. You are stepping in, bringing in nuisance, fines, fees, violations, garbage. Well, look at the pictures up there. You're not picking up too much garbage, but you sure are fining these owners, these property owners who may have mental illness, may be elderly people, may have numerous problems that we're not bringing to it, this group to attention at this time, and you are moving in as a vulture to the most vulnerable people in this city who do not want to lose their homes. And whether they're there or not, they're in somebody's name, it is their property. Now, again, issue number two, your main primary focus is to protect the interest of the public, to go in there, be reasonable, negotiate with them to help fix up these properties. And by the way, when you go into these properties, instead of you trying to exercise the right to pull this property out from underneath these property owners using your nuisance liens, which I consider almost unconstitutional, and I will love to challenge you on every one of these cases in court, and I want to have attorneys lined up to challenge you on these cases, because point blank, you're talking about people being removed out of their homes, losing their properties, rent control, this and that. Well, what do you think you're doing right now by throwing out fees on these people and then trying to take their home at a discount and they can't do anything about it? Well, guess what? You think you have activists out there for rent control. You haven't seen anything yet on this foreclosure proceeding as of this evening. You didn't foreclose since 1971. Quit being greedy because you couldn't get your tax pushed through and you wanted that extra $12 million and you've calculated on these liens as well as I have, there's about $10 to $20 million worth of valuations on liens on overall properties that you want that money. Well, guess what? You're not going to get that money. You're not going to get these people to walk away from these properties. You're not going to get these people to just give them away to you to exercise first right to purchase these property based upon nuisances. It's not going to happen this day and age. Property ownership means something to people, and I'll guarantee you when we have conversations with these owners, they're not going to be happy about this process at all. In City Hall to sit back like vultures waiting to take these properties from the most vulnerable people in this city who are in their homes or want to keep these homes and maybe give to their kids in the future, that's their business what they want to do with these properties. But for you to think you can take these properties out from under them, it's not going to happen. It's going to be challenged by the ACLU, and it'll be challenged by half of this city that care about the most vulnerable people. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else like to speak? Come on up.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
My name is Sally Bowman.
Get a little closer to the mic, please.
Oh, sorry. If I can get this chair to go for a while. My name is Sally Bowman, and I have been very involved in this process. I live next door to a home that was considered a zombie home, and also there's one next door to that was also considered a nuisance home. And living near one of these homes is very distressing to the neighbors. It brings in a lot of crime to your neighborhood, and it makes it a lot less safe for the people who live near the home. I tried very desperately to get a hold of the owner, the bank, somebody who was in charge of the house, and I would like to respond just a tiny bit to the person previous to me. It's going to be hard for him to find the owner of these homes. A lot of people have tried to find them. If you can find that person, I'm sure that the city would not have a problem with them taking responsibility for these houses and taking care of the problem. And, I mean, even if they didn't pay the liens, if they were taking care of the problem that's causing the liens, then there wouldn't be this issue in the first place. So thank you very much from the bottom of my heart and from all of my neighbors who couldn't be here for doing something about this problem that's just really close to my heart.
Thank you. Thanks for being patient.
Thanks for taking the time to come down.
Okay. Anyone else? Then I think we're ready to take action on the first item, unless there are any further questions for staff from council. So the first item is the emergency ordinance, and the second is a report.
So I just had one question, which I think is relevant. The owners of these properties have all been notified of today's hearing. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you. I see heads nodding. That from those who know.
To the extent that we could find owners, they have been notified.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Okay, so let's go ahead and take a vote, please.
Salzman.
This is the emergency ordinance.
Yeah, the ordinance on the code changes.
I really want to thank Mayor Hales and the auditor's office for bringing these code changes forward. They're long overdue. And I think to people that think that what we're doing is throwing families out of their houses, nothing could be further from the truth. These houses are abandoned. They are not in habitable conditions. They have no water. They have no electricity. Garbage piled up. So to evoke the image of a family being thrown out of their house is nothing could be further from the truth. These are putting this...
Don't interrupt, please. Lightning, you know the rules. No interruptions, please.
These properties need to be put into the hands of families. They need to be put in the hands of families who are going to work hard to be good neighbors and to be very responsive to their neighbors and restore these homes to family ownership. So I'm very pleased to support this ordinance. Aye.
Novit?
Aye.
Well, thank you to Auditor Mary Hill Caballero and Deputy Chief Auditor Sarah Landis and your whole team for your good work on this, and thank you, Mayor, for pushing this issue. It is, as we heard from our last speaker, it's really challenging for neighbors, and they have a right to their property rights as well. And so thank you. Thank you very much. Aye.
Ailes.
So this isn't an abstract issue for me. I've walked through some of these houses, and I've talked to neighbors like Sally that have had to deal with this. And again, to all of you who've had to put up with this while the city got its act together, my apologies for the delay. Of course, there's a property right. Of course, there are multiple property rights. There's also a responsibility of property ownership to your neighbors. It's elementary, and it's obvious that you can't be dumping your problems on your neighbors. Now, let's talk about who our neighbors are in this case. They are absentee owners who don't live in these homes, who haven't lived in these homes for a long time, if they ever did. And what they are doing is cynically manipulating the system and the real estate market to enjoy the rise of property values, but leave the problems to the city and to their neighbors. So it is really a necessity, Lightning, thank you. It's a necessity that you take care of your property. And in this real estate market, it's quite possible to do so. Ma'am, you don't get to interrupt in this chamber, and the next time you're here, if you interrupt, you'll be excluded. So this is the right thing to do, and I really appreciate the good work that's gone into this. I want to thank our auditor and her staff. They've really rolled up their sleeves and figured this out. They do good work every day, but this is above and beyond. Thank you. Mike Liefeld and the others at BDS who are out there in the field dealing with these houses. I hope you feel that some help is finally on the way for the good work that you do. Commander Hendry and the folks at East Precinct and everybody else in the police bureau that ended up being property managers as part of their job, I could sense the relief in them that the city is finally going to act in this case. So, again, I want to emphasize what we're not doing. There are no homeowners that are going to be evicted because of this program. There are no renters